Now we're holding on page 46 in Sota Os Nun Aleph. Now up to the next example of the mission in the Mishnah of rewards Midah Neged Midah. Piska, the Mishnah had said Milanu Gadol Moshe, who was greater. He said that Moshe had taken care of Yosef's bones, as we learned in the previous piece, and his reward was that even though he could have delegated it to somebody lesser than him, he was the greatest among the Jewish people. And in return, Shalom, who was greater than him, Shalom is asked by El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was specifically Hashem who took care of Moshe's body and buried him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, by Yikbar Oisai Bagai, he buried him in the valley, Mul Beis Pur, opposite Beis Pur. Now Rashi on the pasuk brings another explanation of by Yikbar Oisai's Ukovar Asatma, that Moshe buried himself, but here the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara are understanding that it means that Hashem buried him. So let's douse in some psukim on that subject. How does Moshe get to that point? So we have Moshe is pleading with Hashem. We know he davened 515 tefillos to be led into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem tells him in Parshas Vayeshanan, Vayomer Hashem Eli, he tells over, Hashem told me, Rav Loch, enough for you, stop, don't keep asking me. So why this expression? I'm going to believe the Rav Bisa, the Rav Bisruhu. Moshe had previously used the expression Rav to tell off other people, and now Hashem is telling him off with the word Rav as well. Namely, Rav Bisu, he had told others, Dichtiv Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, with Korach and their whole group are arguing against him, and he tells them, enough for you, B'nei Levi. And Rav Lachem, as Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, means you already have a lot of Gedullah, you're trying to take for yourselves more Gedullah than you deserve. So Rav Bisu, Rav Lach, so in return, Hashem answers him with the same expression, Rav Lach. Meaning, Rashi says that this is an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik metzadikim v'chuchot v'sayra, that Hashem holds it against Moshe that he used such an expression to them. No, the Rav Lachem B'nei Levi is Moshe saying to Korach and company that you're arguing on Hashem and Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Yeah.
What? The answer to it for some of the Kehim Koyim who actually been with time to being a couple of
So in Sanhedrin, there's a min that asks Rav Avohu that, and Rav Avohu answers that afterwards Hashem toiled in fire, so to speak. And the min asks, since when is there such a thing as toiling in fire? And Rav Avohu answers him, Adadabba, the main concept of tefillah should be in fire, because we human beings can't tolerate that, so therefore we have water instead. Now, there's many, many different explanations in all planes of Pshat and Remez and Drush and Soid, what Rav Avohu means, and then all that. But yeah, aside from that, though, the Zohar actually talks about, in connection with last week's parasha, V'lachosab Sulah Kreva Elov, that Hashem is, so to speak, our relative and our goyal, and therefore the same way as a Kohen becomes Tomei for his relatives, including Vlachos Absula, the same way the Eivishter, so to speak, is Matame himself to take us out of Golos. The Zohar brings in that connection where Hashem says, I've dirtied and filthied all my garments, trampling and destroying Edom. The Meloshin Egolti is Meloshin filth, but also Meloshin Geula, in order to bring my people, in order to bring my beloved sister, so to speak, the Jewish people, out of Golos. I'm prepared to filthy up and make my garments tome, Abi the Golos is over. Yeah. So, but even not even Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Gadol is also for a mess mitzvah. Moshe, if nothing else over here, is a mess mitzvah since below Yadir is just Kvarasai. Yeah. That's in fact the one Mephoshim will explain. That is why that's why Taka the Min only asks how did Hashem Tovel. He doesn't ask how Hashem could become tome in the first place, and one answer is, in fact, because Moshe was a mess mitzvah. Yeah. That's another point as well. Maybe tzaddikim and matamim. Although even that, I mean, that's not so simple. They're not matamim ba'oil necessarily, but are they matamim b'mago of masa? That may be, yeah. But yeah, it's a fair point also. But yeah, I mean, the Gemara is going to bring through the one opinion Yeshem and Moshe lo mes, so that can maybe factor in here as well. But yeah, okay. Anyway, what's going on over here? Marsha explains basically the word rav means tremendously more than a person is capable of getting. So when it comes to tzaddikim, it means olam haba, and when it comes to rishoyim, it means the rav that they get in this world. Which is why, for example, Esav says on himself, yeshli rav, I have myself, I have everything I could possibly want and more than that in olam hazeh. Because that's Esav, that's he's an Olam Hazeh person. Anyway, so the same idea over here And this is, now, when does Yaakov use the word Rav? When he finds out that Yosef is alive, and he knows, therefore, that he's not going into Gehenim, as you have the Medrash, that if any of his children die in his lifetime, it means he's going there. So now, he knows, I have my full Olam Haba, now is when he uses the word Rav. Well, in the same vein, in other words, so Moshe is using to them, he's using the word Rav Lochem, the kind of thing that you would speak to a Rasha, the kind of thing that Esav used on himself, for example. So therefore, Hashem pays him back and uses on him Rav Loch, meaning it's enough for you in this world. Now, there is also the meaning that it means that Rav Tov, there's much good for you that's waiting for you in Olam Haba. Rashi mentions it on Chumash, but still, the fact that Hashem used this expression to him is Midah to Neged Midah. There is a vote on it as well, there's a vote on it from Shlomo Kluger that says, after all, you know, okay, Korach and company, they're coming in a machloikistic way and everything, but still, you know, after all, they do have underneath it all as a motivation, that they want to be even Hashem on a higher level, on the Koyan, the kind of a Koyanim, instead of Levium. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea they wanted to show how the Levium are B'pnimius and Yonim higher than the Koyanim. So Moshe shouldn't be dismissing that desire of theirs to come close to Hashem with an expression like Rav Loch. As if, like, you have enough closeness to Hashem, you don't need any more. So now, therefore, that's being held against Moshe, and Hashem is telling them the same thing, Rav Loch. You want to go into Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara is going to say later on, not just Lechem Apiriv L'Sboi Matuva, but to do the mitzvahs at Lurius Bardes, but you denied other people you said it's not, they have no business looking for something higher, a higher level of Avodah than they have. Well, by the same token, you're not going to have the higher level of Avodah that you crave. Yeah. So that's one meaning. Dover Acha, Rav Loch, another explanation of the words Rav Loch means Rav Yesh Locha. You have a Rav at this point. Umanu Yeshua, namely Yeshua, needs to take over. And in Malchus Negas B'chavosha, no, one kingship can't overlap the other. So therefore, so it's time for Yeshua to take over. And therefore you have to go. Dover Acha. Another point. Rav Loch. Shalo Yomru. You need to stop davening. Hashem tells Moshe. Shalo Yomru. Ha Rav Kama Kosha. Va Talmud Kama Sarvan. People shouldn't say, look how harsh the master Hashem is. That here Moshe is davening so much, and Hashem doesn't want to listen to him. And the Talmud, how stubborn he's being. So people, it's, in other words, going to look disrespectful to Hashem. Rashi points out, now the word sorev, the shodesh sorev usually means to be disobedient and whatever, but here Rashi explains it can also mean, Tosfos Shans also points out, that it can sometimes mean to plead and importune and whatever. So we have several examples of it in Shas, including one that's going to be soon, a few days in Dafayomi, a person is pleading with and importuning the other guy, please, please, please come and join me for a meal. You have sometimes the word for it is sar hev, with a hay in the middle, but it's basically the same shoresh. So therefore, Talmud Thomas Sarvan would mean how pleading the Talmud is. So Marshall explains the Rav Loch would be that the Meloshin Rabbonus. You have to realize Hashem is your master, and you can't keep and you don't want him to look bad, so to speak. And a Talmud Kama Korna and a Talmud Kama Sarvan, and therefore I'll toast the Daber Eli. Don't keep on speaking to me about this matter. So the Gemara says, V'chol kach lama. Now, why so much? After all, Moshe, Rashi explains the point of the question is, that so look, what did Moshe do wrong, Stachakol? He said, Shimuna Amurim. He said to the people by the rock over there, he said, look, you rebellious people. And now, because of that, he should be going through hundreds of tefillos, and Hashem's not going to listen to him. The answer is Tanu Dvei Rabbi Shmuel from Gam LaShichna. As the Gemara mentions in other places, according to the camel is the load. The stronger the camel, the more you load it up with. The same way, the greater the tzidkus of Moshe, the more Hashem is going to be particular with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktikim Tzedikim L'Chot HaSaira. That's Rashi's explanation. Marsha doesn't like that explanation, because there are other places where the Gemara talks about this point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktik and Tzedikim, and the Gemara doesn't mention this Lefum Gam L'Shichna in those connections. It mentions it in connection with, for example, about Tzedakah. We learned in Ksubas, we had about Nakdim and Ben-Gurion, that he, as much as he gave Tzedakah, it wasn't enough relative to his wealth. But you don't find that the Gemara doesn't mention it in this connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktik and Tzedikim. So rather, Maharsha explains the question is, After all, what do you mean, you're making it sound like Moshe pleaded with Hashem hundreds of times. The fact is, we only find the one time in the Torah, Vaschanan al-Shem. Fine, we doubt in Vaschanan as Gematria 515, but it doesn't say in the Torah that he pleaded that much. So what is Hashem telling him? Rav loch al-Tosef Dabar Eli. So what it means is, though, what we can say is one single tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu is as worth as much as many, many tefillahs from anybody else. So even the one, so we don't even have to say, in other words, that it really was literally 515 tefillahs. Moshe is just davening the one time, Vaschanan al Hashem, and already Hashem is saying Lafum Gamla compared to the strong camel like you, Shichana. This is already a tremendous load of tefillahs, and if I don't answer you, then people are going to say Harav Kamakosha, etc. Next. So the pasuk says, so Moshe eventually gives in, and fine, he's not going to ask Hashem about it anymore. And in fact, later on, when Moshe actually goes up to Har Nevoah, the Gemara is going to say he went up there very fast and very eagerly, because at that point he knows it's the Rotzon of the Eibishter. There is, by the way, an interesting vort that says that there's various vertlach, by the way, why Dr. 515 tefillahs. One of them is a calculation, I think, from that flaw that goes through from Tuba Av, which is when the last Mesa Midbar passed away, until Zion Adar. If you calculate the number of days, you find 3 tefillahs per day, and you come out with that number, or something like that. Or maybe like you have to skip Shabbosim. I don't remember the exact calculation, but it's something along those lines. Then there's another interesting one, which is, from this time when Moshe is standing over there until the end of the year 6000 or a little bit either side of that, you have 515 shmittis. So each one of Moshe's tefillahs is a tefillah for one of those shmittis for of the rest of human history until and beyond when Mashiach comes. 515 is Gematria Shira. There is that also. Yeah. And there's lots of other things about Dafka, the number 515, but yeah. Okay. So Moshe tells the people in Parshas Vayishla, in Parshas Vayelach, he tells them, Vayomer aleihem ben me'ev esrim shana anochi hayom. He says to them, I'm 120 years old today. So she'en tamud lemer hayom. Now the Pasuk did not have to say hayom. It's enough to say I'm 120 years old. Or ma tamud lemer hayom. So why did it say hayom? By which he means, Hayoim molu yomai shnoisai. Today my days and my years are exactly complete. This is his actual 120th birthday. Why the double expression? Anaf Yosef goes into a little arichus over here of why does he have to say Hayoim, and Hashem just has to say Hashem told him me not to cross the Yarden and that Yeshua is going to take over. Why does he b'chol even need to mention that he's 120 years old? So therefore, the Gemara says that it means that he's saying Hayoim molu yomai yoshnoisai. Today my days and my years are complete. L'lamdechol, this teaches you Shachkodesh Baruch Hu Mashlim Shneiseim Shal Tzadikim Miyoy. Hashem completes the years of tzaddikim to the day and to the month. As the pasuk says, I will complete the number of your years. So in other words, the person who was nigzer to begin with, that he's going to live X number of years. So for a tzaddik, Hashem makes sure that X number of years is exact day to day. Now, we have many, many tzaddikim throughout history where we don't find that by. So the Rebbe once talked about it in connection with the Mitzvah of the Rebbe. The Mitzvah of the Rebbe was born on Tes Kislev and passed away on the same day 54 years later. So by him, you actually have it, the Galui, and by others, not so much. The Rebbe talked about that's the idea, basically, is that by all tzaddikim, it's somehow molu yomai yoshnoisai, but not necessarily do we always see it begashmius down here in this world. By the Mitzvah of the Rebbe, it was a special thing, whereby him you were actually able to see it, the Gashmius, and were saying, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the same kind of thing. A different time, by the way, for example, that ever talked about the Rambam, where the Rambam was born Erev Pesach and passed away Chof Tevis. So if you have, there's 83 days missing. Well, you have 83 halachas in Mishnah Torah. So like, so to speak, that makes up for the missing 83 days is made up for by the 83 halachas in Rambam. So therefore, also you have by him more begolu, this concept of Molu Yomai Yoshnoisai. Now, Moshe says on himself, he continues in that pasuk, Lo uchal oid lotis v'lovay. I can no longer go out and come in. So what does that mean? My lotis v'lovay. Ilema lotis v'lovay mamish. Does Moshe literally mean that I'm too weak to go out and to go in anymore? The pasuk says when Moshe passed away, Moshe ben Meir v'Esrim Shana b'Moshe, he was 120 years old when he passed away. Loi chohatzar enoy, his eyes were not dim, and enoy also means his color, like the color of his face had not changed. Loi noslechay, and his fleshness, his bodily vitality had not gone away. So we see he's just as vital and healthy at 120 years old as he was at much younger ages. Ochtiv. Not only that, now, Marsha points out, it can't mean, now on the face of it, you would say, like, Ochalai Lotzis V'Lovai, why? Because, as he continues in the Pasuk, Hashem told me that I can't cross the Yarden. But in that case, then the Vav would be kind of out of place. He's saying, like, Ochalai Lotzis V'Lovai, Va Hashem Omar Eli. The Vav wouldn't fit over there. Ki Hashem Omar Eli, then it would be a reason. But if the Vav suggests that we're talking two separate things. So not only that, Uchtiv, we see when Moshe goes up to Har Nevoi, the passage says, Vayal Moshe me'Argas Moyav al Har Nevoi. He went up from Argas Moyav to Har Nevoi. Now the point is, why do we need to say that? We know that they were camped in Argas Moyav. We have many psukim that say that. So why would the passage should just say, Vayal Moshe al Har Nevoi? So it means, V'tanya, we learn in a brisa, Shem Esrei Milas Hoyusham, there were 12 levels over there that to go from Aris Moyav, which is the flatlands, up to the top of Har Nevoi. There were 12 levels, I guess like terraces on the mountain or some such thing, or Posen Moshe, or Psia Achas, and Moshe stepped up all of them all at once, all in one step. So Marsha points out the 12 steps, the 12 levels represent the 12 Shvatim. So in other words, we should realize that like this, usually when a person passes away, it means, it's a pity on him. He's gone from the world. He doesn't have the chance to accomplish anything more in the world. Here we're saying that with Moshe Rabbeinu, just the opposite. He's equal. The Medrash refers to the Shvatim, and Va'at Olis Al Kulana refers to Moshe. So Moshe outweighs all of them, and therefore, in other words, he can step up all of those steps in one pace, representing, in other words, that when he passes away, it's not a loss for him. He's just as great, and he's accomplishing in this world just as much as he was before. But it's the loss is for the Jewish people. So that's represented by him going up all at once like that. There are other explanations, including that it means, like we just said, that like we said before, that once Hashem makes it clear to him that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael, and he has to pass away here, and he goes b'rotzen, because at this point he knows this is the rotzen of the Eibishter, and he's completely bottled to that. So therefore he's going to jump as fast as possible and then leap over in one step. Anyway, the point is, he was obviously still very strong to be able to do that. So what does he mean that I can't lotzis v'lovay? So Amar of Shmuel Barachmeni, Amar of Yonasan, lotzis v'lovay b'divrei Torah. Means he can no longer go out and go in teaching Torah, in words of Torah. The wellsprings of Chochmah, or the gates of Chochmah, were closed up for him. So in other words, he realizes so exactly that. In other words, that now it's closed up. Now, Iyun Yaakov stresses, you shouldn't think that means, for example, that like he forgot his Torah or something. And we find that by Rishoyim, we find that by Doeg, for example, that he forgot his Torah before he passed away. So it doesn't mean not that he forgot, but that faket. It means that when he was alive, he's like a wellspring. There's constantly more and more chokhmah coming to him, whereas now that's not anymore. So he still retains all the chokhmah that he had before, but he's not getting any new chokhmah. Sharanun. Okay, so that means, in other words, but at that point, now he's not at Sharanun yet. Right now, he's still at Shar Mem Test, and he realizes basically that there's no Mayonis HaChochma. There is actually a Sicha on it, actually, where the Rebbe talks about, what do you mean, Nistachim Men Mayonis HaChochma? He says this at the beginning of Parshas Vayelach. Yeah, the whole Vayelach, the whole Hazinu, and the whole Vazer Zabracha, which Moshe is still saying. So basically, the Rebbe develops the idea, it's a Sicha in Telech of Test, that what it means is that Moshe realized that, yes, of course, he still has the ability to give, but it's not quite as unimpeded as it was before. There's like something getting blocked off, kind of. So now he realizes this is a simon min hashamayim, that now it's time, my time of being the Mayan of Chochma is over, and now it's time to go to the next, leader, to Yeshua. And there are, in fact, Mephoshim who say that what it means is Fakert, and this would maybe fit better with your point about the Shara Nun. Now he's on such an incomparably higher level, he can't give over Mayonis HaChochma anymore, in the sense he can't lower himself anymore, can't be Mitzamtzim himself anymore to be able to give over to the people. So the pasuk says, "Vayelach Moshe v'Yeshua v'Yisyatzu v'Oyomoyed," that Moshe and Yeshua went together, and they stood in Oyomoyed. Tana, so what do we mean, Moshe and Yeshua together? Tana, oisa Shabbos, Shabbos shel Dzyuzgi. Oh, yeah. That Shabbos was a Shabbos of a pair of Chachamim. Dzyuzgi, Dzyu, is a Gemara prefix that comes from Greek. That means two, and Zgi is the Lashon Zugos. So there were two equal partners on that day. Usually you would have, you have one Rosh Hashiva, as Rashi himself mentions on the Psukim over there, Dabar Echad Lador, V'Lashnei Dabarim Lador. You have one leader of a generation, not two. We find in other Gemaras. You have, for example, in connection with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where you have, you know, Shabbos Shom Lihoisa. You have to take turns. Either any given Shabbos is going to be Rabbi Gamliel was the Rosh Hashiva or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But here we're saying it wasn't. Here it was a Shabbos of a pair. So Nitla Roshus Mizeb, Nitla Zeh, permission to teach the Jewish people was taken from one, from Moshe, and given to Yeshua. So Rashi explains, in other words, there was a transition on that Shabbos itself. The beginning of the day still belonged to Moshe, and then the end of the day belonged to Yeshua. Mav Shah brings something similar, that it means that's what it means. Shabbos Shel Dzyuzgi, in other words, not that they're two equal partners at the same time, but rather that it's one and then taking over the other. Mav Shah, by the way, refers over here to a point. We're saying over here that in this case, we're implying that Moshe passed away on Shabbos. There are other sources that say that. For example, it's brought that that's one reason why we say Tzidkoscha on Shabbos afternoon, is because Moshe, Yosef, and David all passed away at that time on Erev Shabbos by Mincha. On the other hand, there's a lot of questions on it because, among other things, we say that Moshe wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on that day, and if it's Shabbos, how could he be writing Sifrei Torah? So Mav Shah refers to a Tosfos that discusses that point elsewhere, and there's quite a bit of discussion about it among Rishonim and Achronim, though there are other places where it implies that Moshe passed away on Erev Shabbos. There's a possibility that maybe the daytime of Erev Shabbos was extended into Shabbos, and therefore it's still before, therefore the sun hadn't set yet, and Shabbos hadn't officially begun, but still is. In terms of 24-hour periods, it would have been Shabbos, and there's a lot of discussion about the ins and outs of that. Anyway, here also there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about, there's a Rashi sicha also in Chelek Choptes, where the Rashi brings over there, and Rashi brings in Parshas Hazinu, that Rashi mentions this point, Shabbos Shel Dzyuzgi Hoya, and Rashi goes on to mention that Moshe set up a Meturgamon for Yeshua, so people shouldn't think, hey, well, when Moshe was alive, you couldn't even lift your head, so therefore Moshe is showing, even while he's still alive, that Yeshua is the next leader. And the Rebbe discusses the point in the Sicha, what exactly the significance of all of that is, and then Rashi goes on to mention the point that Hoshea, that he's called Hoshea bin Nun over there, because he still remained an honor of, he didn't consider himself to be so great, and he still continued to use his old name Yeshua. So in other words, the idea is that Moshe has to literally lift up his head and make it that now he's important in the people's eyes in order that he should be able to be the manhig, and therefore, thus it had to be, on Pshuto Shel Mikra, even it had to be a Shabbos Shel Dzyuzgi. It couldn't just be after Moshe passes away, Yeshua is going to take over. It has to be that Yeshua is actually taking over while Moshe was alive in order to stress to the Jewish people that Moshe, that Yeshua really is taking over from Moshe completely. So the Gemara continues, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ilmale Mikra Kosuv Ef Shel Omer. If it didn't actually say the following pasuk in Chumash, it would be impossible to say it. Namely, that the pasuk is going to imply that Hashem himself, so to speak, carried Moshe's body to bury it. Let's figure out like this, says Rabbi Yehuda. Heichan Moshe Mes, where did Moshe actually pass away? Bechoka Shel Reuven, was in the territory of Reuven. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Vayal Moshe Me'aris Moyav El Har Nevoi. So he went up to Har Nevoi, and where is Nevoi located? Or Nevoi b'chalken shol Reuven, kaima. Now Nevoi is located in Reuven's territory. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Nevoi Reuven Bonu, in Parshas Matos, when it describes over there after they had conquered Eretz Sichon Ve'oig, and after Reuven and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe had arranged that they were going to settle there, so the pasuk describes the various cities that the Shvatim built, and the pasuk says, Nevoi Reuven Bonu, as Cheshbon, v'as El Oloi, v'as Kirisoyim, v'as Nevoi, v'as Baal Ma'oin. So we see that they built Nevoi and the Parshas. Why would they build it? Because it's in their territory. Now, of course, you know, Gemara could easily enough say that maybe Nevoi is not the same thing as Har Nevoi, but the Gemara is obviously understanding that it's the same place, and the city is named after the mountain. Well then, first of all, the Gemara interjects, by the way, although this is in parenthesis, it's not in the Girsay in the Gemara, Nevoi, why was it called Nevoi? Shoshan Meisu, Gimel Nevi'im, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Because it's called that, because three Nevi'im, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, all passed away over there. Meaning, it was, we're saying Nevoi, the Rif explains, Nevoi, Melosh, and Nevoah, and it has a, and it also has three letters, so it represents the three of them. Now, of course, Miriam and Aaron did not physically pass away on Har Nevoi. They passed away in Kodesh and on Hor HaHor, respectively, several months earlier. But the Gemara tells us in, the Gemara tells us in Tainus that you have the three things that the Jewish people had in the Midbar, in the schus of them, the well and the schus of Miriam, the Anani HaKobed for Aaron, because of Aaron, the Mon for Moshe, and each of those things disappeared after the particular tzaddik or tzaddikus passed away, and then they came back in the schus of Moshe. Now when Moshe passed away, all three of them disappeared, so therefore it can be considered as though all three of them passed away at the same time. There's a medrash in that connection. The Gemara brings over there in that connection a pasuk from Zechariah. V'achid shloshes aroyim b'yerach echad. Hashem says I cut off the three shepherds in 1 month, and that refers. The Gemara says that now when Moshe passed away, then it's as if all three of them had suddenly passed away because all three things are gone. So therefore, the Gemara can be saying over here that it can be said symbolically that they all passed away on that one mountain. Anyway, so, like you said before, Nevoi is also in Chassidus, is brought Nun Boi, that it means that Moshe reached the 50th Shaar Bina, where until then he only had 49, but yeah. In any case, so Nevoi was saying is in Reuven's territory. The Heichan Moshe cover, now where is Moshe actually buried? The Chalkash of God. He's buried in God's territory. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, in Moshe's Bracha, to shave at God, he says, Vayar Reshis Loi. He saw the first for himself, meaning as Rashi explains on the pasuk, that God was eager to get the first possible portion of Eivor HaYarden, ki shom chalkas mechokek sofon, because he knew that the portion of the lawgiver, which is Moshe, who had brought the Torah to the Jewish people, is hidden. So in short, in other words, God wanted that territory because he knew that Moshe is going to be buried over there. It's part of Eivor HaYarden. So it's not part of Eretz Canaan, but it's part of Eivor HaYarden. It's in the territory of Shevet God, we're saying. So therefore, so in short, Moshe passed away in the territory of Shevet Reuven, and he's buried in the territory of Shevet God. Marsha points out the symbolism of it is Reuven, as we learned earlier, did tshuva publicly. We had where Reuven had been doing tshuva privately after he moved Yaakov's bed, and then when Yehuda said Sod Kamimeni in the affair of Tamar, then Reuven also publicly confessed of what he had done, and because of that, he's a symbol of tshuva. In fact, by the way, in a different context, it's brought, you have 11 Kapitlachim Tillim that Moshe composed, beginning with Tfilah Moshe, beginning with Kapitl Tzadik, it's brought that Moshe composed all those Kapitlachim Tzadik to Kuf. Each one of them corresponding to one of the 11 Shvatim that he gave a bracha to. You have 11 Kapitlach, 11 Shvatim. Shimon, he didn't give a separate bracha to, it's only included kind of in Yehuda's bracha, so he doesn't get a Kapitl of his own either. Anyway, the point is, therefore, the first one of those Kapitl Tzadik corresponds then to Reuven, and in that it talks about Shuvah, Toshav and Ashadaka. So therefore, so it's very fitting for Reuven, who's the exemplar of Tshuva. Anyway, Marsha says the symbolism of it is, realize Hashem is hinting to the Jewish people, up until now, you had Moshe standing up for you. As the Gemara is going to say soon, part of the hesped for Moshe Rabbeinu was he always stood up whenever the Jewish people had done wrong, then Moshe defended them to Hashem. You're not going to have that anymore. Now you better take up Reuven's specialty of Tshuva. As far as the burials and Shevet God, because that's Baal Peor, and as the Gemara is going to say later, that was Mimachaper for the Aveira of Baal Peor. So therefore, that's why he had to pass away in Reuven's territory, but then the burial was in Shevet God. Now, continues the Gemara. Mechelkash or Reuven and Shchelkash or God Kamahavi, how far is this distance from Reuven's territory to God's? Our Baal Milan, it's a distance of 4 mil. So who brought Moshe's body, that 4 mil? So Malamed Shahoya Moshe Nes Mutav Kanfei Shchina. So it means that Moshe is lying in Kanfei Shchina. Now we would usually understand Kanfei to mean wings, but Rashi explains it doesn't mean wings, it means B'knaf Hoid Levushoy, so to speak, in the hems of Hashem's glorious garment. The Pasuk describes, you know, it was in today's Tillim, Oita Ur Kasalma, Noita Shemaim Kairiya, Hashem's garment is, so to speak, white, and therefore Moshe is now lying in that garment of Hashem. Malacha, so Moshe is in Hashem's garment, and Hashem is taking him to bury him. And the Malachi Ashurus are saying on Moshe, they are saying the Hesped from the continuation that we just quoted the Pasuk by Yah Reishis Loi. So now that Pasuk continues. Sidkas Hashem Asa, he did Hashem's Tzaka, or Mishpatav in Yisrael, and is Mishpatim with the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, now, I mean, there's different meanings of what those words mean. Rashi points out on the Pasuk, it can also refer to God, that they fulfilled their promise and helped conquer Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the rest of the Shvatim. But here the Gemara is under, but Rashi also points out over there, can refer to Moshe, and therefore that's how the Gemara is understanding it over here, that the Malachim are saying a hesped. Now, obviously, in other words, the idea is Moshe is not going to be saying that kind of praise about himself. So it would mean that the Malachim are saying it about him. Maharsha explains the idea is Tzidkas Hashem Asa means, in other words, sometimes you have a person who gives tzedakah, and if he's not properly motivated, then Hashem is going to end up causing, as it mentions in Baba Basra, that Hashem will cause it that the people he ends up giving tzedakah to end up being unworthy people, people who don't deserve tzedakah. But Moshe was not like that, and therefore it was Tzidkas Hashem, so it was the midah of Hashem with tzedakah that it goes to those who deserve it. And Mishpatav in Yisrael, that on the other hand, so now Maharsha says, you know, here you have contrast Dine Odom and Dine Shemayim. We often find that Dine Shemayim are a lot more severe. You have cases in Halacha where a person is potim in Dine Odom and chayav in Dine Shemayim. And you have examples where, for example, a person might not be chayav in Beis Din because no Eid and Vasra or whatnot, but Hashem will still get him. So here you have cases, many cases throughout the 40 years when the Jewish people deserved to be destroyed Bidei Shemayim, and each time Moshe stood up for them and davened for them. Meaning, in other words, that Moshe was arguing to Hashem, at most, what we need is Dine Odom. Fine, by the Eagle, let's say, we'll find whoever is actually, there was Edom Asra, and we'll have Bnei Levi execute them. But we're not going to, let's not have that there should be Mishpat of Hashem. So therefore, Mishpat of Yisrael, his Mishpatim were of the kind that Jews do between themselves, rather than Hashem's stricter type of Mishpat. So this is the hesped that the Malachim are saying about Moshe, that here, when it came to tzedakah, he was doing the way Hashem does to those who truly deserve it, and when it came to mishpatim, he's doing like Bnei Adam do, to be lenient with those who did wrong. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Mai Omer, what did Hashem himself say of the hesped for Moshe? So Omar, so here you have a machlokes. Rav says that Hashem said the following pasuk, which is again from one of those 11 kapitlach and tilim, as the hesped for Moshe. Mi yokum li mireim, who is going to stand up for me against the evildoers? Meaning Rashi says, lo hichicham l'shmi, you're going to have people who are doing wrong, and until now Moshe was always telling them off and giving them toichacha. Who's going to do that anymore? Who's going to stand up on my behalf with those who do rishus? Oven is another word for rishus and iniquity and whatever. Maharsha says another meaning of it is mi yokum li and mi yisyatsiv li. Moshe made the Jewish people into Hashem's nation. And even you have the time after the Chet Ha'egel, when Hashem threatened, I'm going to take away my Shechina, and a Malach is going to lead you instead. And Moshe successfully pleaded with Hashem to not do that, and Hashem listened to his tefillah. So now Hashem is saying, as a Hesped, who's going to do that anymore? So there's that. That's Rav. Shmuel says that Hashem's Hesped was the Pasuk Mi Kehachacham. Who is the Pasuk from Kehelas? Mi Kehachacham. Who is like the wise man? Umi Yadeya Pesher Dover. And who is it that understands the Pesher of the matter? Now, the simple meaning of Pesher means the interpretation. But Rashi explains Moshe Pshara. Like you have, so to speak, Moshe was able to be a mediator and make like a, almost like a compromise, like a broker, a compromise almost between Hashem and the Jewish people. Maharsha explains differently. The word pesher can also be related to the word poshrin, like lukewarm liquid, as opposed to hot. Like here you have, there's times when Hashem has a fiery anger, and Hashem himself was compared to fire, and Moshe is the one who knows how to moderate that fire and daven for Rachmanus, and now it becomes, instead of a hot fire, it becomes only a lukewarm fire. So who is it that's going to have that ability? Rabbi Yochanan says yet another thing that was Hashem's hesped for Moshe. V'achochma me'ayin timotzei. Chochma from ayin, from where will it be found? Moshe has the ultimate, Masha explains, Moshe has the ultimate degree of Chochmah of Torah. In particular, Chochmah of Torah refers to the pilpul of Torah. And the Gemara tells us in the Dorim, we had a while back, that the pilpul of Torah, the concept to be able to analyze the Torah and come up with new ideas, and it was given to Moshe, and he generously gave it to the Jewish people. So where do you find it? Ka'ayin, me'ayin timotzi. You find it by the one who's ayin, Moshe, who was the ultimate onav, onav mikol adam, asher al pnei ha'adama. So now, Rabbi Yechon is saying, this is Hashem's hesbet for Moshe. Now that chokhmah is no longer going to be found because there's no ayin. You don't have that degree of ayin that Moshe had. Bina, and as the pasuk continues, where is the place of bina? So in other words, Moshe had those in perfection, and nobody else does. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says another thing that was Hashem's hesbet. There's just the pasuk says, "Vayomos sham Moshe eved Hashem." Moshe, the servant of Hashem, passed away there. In other words, the very fact that he's called Eved Hashem, that itself is the greatest compliment that you can give to Moshe. An Eved, we have all in Chassidus, and in Sfarim long before that, that an Eved is completely bottled to his master, and the same way Moshe had the ultimate degree of bittul to the Eveshter, and therefore, so therefore the highest compliment that you can give him is Eved Hashem. Samalian says another possibility. Rashi says it's Shem Chocham. Tosfos brings two possibilities. It might be Shem Chacham. Here we had a bunch of Chachamim, Rav Shmuel and Rav Yechon and so forth, are saying their opinions. And that Smalyan would be another Chacham. Then Tosfos brings from the Oruch another possibility. Smalyan is the name of a Malach who's making the following announcement when Moshe passed away. The pasuk says, "Vayomos sham Moshe eved Yisrael, vay mes sham Moshe satra rabbi Yisrael." Woe, Moshe, the great scribe of the Jewish people, has passed away. The Targum actually translates it that way. When it says, "Vayomos sham Moshe eved Hashem," the Targum actually translates it, "Vayomos sham Moshe satra rabbi Yisrael." Marashor explains, in other words, because what happened, Hashem, you have the Torah exists before the world, does Alpayim Shana Kodma Torah La'olam, but you have, that's the hidden dimension of Torah. Then you have the Nigla of Torah, which comes down into what we can comprehend, and that was written down by Moshe. So therefore, he's Satra Rabba Yisrael, he's the great scribe, that was his great accomplishment, is he brought down the Torah in a revealed way into the world. Another point, Marashor says, Satra also means the counter, he's the one who counted the Jewish people many times. So that's another meaning. Vayomos sham and vay mos sham. Woe, he passed away. We should realize what a tremendous loss there is. There's a number of explanations among Mephoshim about the various angles that the various Chachamim are saying over here about what the hesped for Moshe was. Each of them is representing a different quality in which Moshe was unique from everybody else. The way that he brought the Jewish people to Hashem, the way he brought Hashem down to the Jewish people, the way that he brought us the Torah, and so on and so forth. There is an interesting point in that regard that the Meshech Chochma brings, you know, in the Pesukim at the end of Parshas, at the end of the Torah, at the end of Zos HaBracha, it says the Jewish people cried for him for 30 days, Vayivku. It never says Vayispedu. Why not? Because a hesped requires that you know, that you can describe in some words the totality of what the person accomplished, and there's nobody among the Jewish people who could do that. Yeah, the Malachim could do that, Hashem could do that, but there's no one among the Jewish people who's really able to grasp in the fullest sense that what Moshe really accomplished, and therefore to be able to say that. Among the other things over here, the Mi Yochum Mi Miremi Siatzim Mi Imperial Oven, another explanation is also like this. The Jewish people, what the Gemara is saying, according to that opinion of Rab, is the Jewish people at the end of the 40 years, they don't even realize a generation later what a low situation they were in when Moshe took them out of Mitzrayim. So like if they could realize it, if they could look back and see, you know what, we realize now what nobodies we were then and now what we are, then that would be something that they could say as a hesped. They don't even grasp it. Like it doesn't even occur to them at one time. We were Mireim and we were Poyle Oven, and look how Moshe transformed us. So therefore Hashem has to say it on their behalf because they themselves don't even realize it. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. The Pal of Ear. So So the ultimate bearer of the world will be at the end of this Golus, the Golamidus Vashlema, as we have the Pasuk, he made Seis on the Eretz Mitzrayim, Aaron and Flois, just like by Mitzrayim, they completed the bearer over there. So, and that's why, now, when we go out of this Golus, as the Pasuk said, Loi b'chi pozim tetzeir, you don't have to leave in haste, or from Nusa loi selechon, you have to run away, unlike from Mitzrayim, because Ruach HaTumah, Avim and Aretz, as you have the famous point that the Alter Rebbe makes in Tanya, that in Mitzrayim, you still have the Klippus over there pursuing them, and therefore they have to run away from it, whereas Loh said, Loh, that won't be necessary. So we will go out of the Golus b'zri, but it won't be a zrizus as in we have to run away because otherwise we might get caught, but rather a menuchas ha-nefesh, a menuchas ha-guf, and the ultimate shleimus and the ultimate health. Okay, continuing with halachas of Yom Tov. So we talked about the idea that you can do malachas ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, but only certain malachas ochel nefesh, and in particular one restriction is if you could have done it before Yom Tov, and there wouldn't have been any difference on Yom Tov. So among other examples are, for example, you can't make cheese on Yom Tov, or to make butter, because those kinds of things you could have done before Yom Tov, and it wouldn't be any worse. Other examples are, for example, skimming the cream off the top of the milk. It would have to be in that sense like Shabbos. If you want to do that, you have to leave a little bit of it on top of the milk. But even that, only boi b'yoyim, but not for the next day, because you can't prepare from one day to the next. Okay. Then you have, for example, let's say spices. Now, spices, if you grind them ahead of time, then they're going to lose their flavor. They have essential oils in them that are going to evaporate or whatever. So those you're allowed to grind on Yom Tov with a shinui. So, for example, you put the grinder on the side, or you do it on the table or something. Similarly, for example, chrein. So you don't do it into a dish like you do on weekdays, do it onto a napkin or something. The Alter Rebbe actually holds that you can't even use, the Alter Rebbe actually holds in that regard, you can't even use a grater for it at all. You would have to b'chlal, the whole grating of horseradish, according to the Alter Rebbe, would have to be done with a shinui anyway. Coffee, if you're going to grind that, you can't use a coffee grinder for it. You have to use something else, and again, do a shinui. Better is to do it all erev Yom Tov. Things that don't lose their flavor, those you pack that definitely have to grind erev Yom Tov. If you forgot, then you can be matur al yedei shinui. One example with that is salt. You can break up salt. Let's say you have like rock salt or something. You can easily do that before Yom Tov. It won't lose any of its flavor. So if you forgot, then yesh lahatur al yedei shinui. Again, only for today, not for tomorrow. And yesh lahachmu, even only what's needed for the current soda, and the same thing also if you're going to crush matzah, although the Alter Rebbe holds that no, in tchina achat tchina, so you would perfectly be allowed to crush matzah on Yom Tov, and probably even on Shabbos for that matter as well, because it was already ground up before, and therefore there's no tchina in it again.